We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and talking history of neighborhood grocery stores here with Cheryl Collins, director of the Raleigh County Historical Museum, which, as mentioned, is open, and more information online at Raleigh County. This is your website, RileyCountyMuseum.org? I can't remember.
RileyCountyKS.gov/museum.
Okay. I was like, I think I know it, but don't know it by heart.
We have a complicated, and then the Raleigh County Historical Society is RileyCHS.com.
Okay, very good.
If you Google us, we come up.
That's right. Well, these neighborhood grocery stores, I was going to ask you a little bit, do they have, obviously, when you think of a grocery store, you go get your fresh meats and your fresh vegetables. Did they have on-site butchers at a lot of these community neighborhood grocery stores?
I think a number of the owners did butchering. And now having meat cut to order was one of the things, the services that I think they provided. And that would be interesting to see how their supplies changed over the years. And I don't know exactly how that worked, but I do believe that a lot of the neighborhood grocery stores, the proprietor actually did some of that cutting to order of meats. So you could get a wide variety of items in those sorts of stores.
Of course, having so many available, that was good news for a lot of the farmers here. They could get their products pretty quickly to tables.
Yes. And I'm assuming that those stores had some local sources for fresh things during seasons. Mm-hmm. And, of course, originally with grocery stores downtown, like Purcell's General Store, farmers would bring in butter and eggs and trade that for products at Purcell's, like bacon and flour and all the things they need, which gave them an income while they were waiting for their cash crops to grow and be harvested and sold. So that butter and egg trade was a really, really important part of the farm economy, and that continued for years and years and years.
What would you say is one thing, I imagine you grew up with some neighborhood grocery stores, what's something of those days you miss that you wish you could get at a grocery store today?
Well, that's a good question, because I actually grew up in Wichita, and I don't even remember neighborhood grocery stores. I remember, you know, Safeway and some of those larger chains.
Sure.
So I think, and it'd be interesting to see the difference between a larger city like Wichita and Manhattan, because Manhattan maintained those neighborhood grocery stores for a long, long time. A number of them continued into the 1960s. For instance, one of the ones our caller mentioned at 610 North 5th, that one I found it in 1969 as Anderson's 5th Street Grocery. And that building is one of the buildings that is still standing, that now, of course, is a private home. So some of those, you know, a few of those lasted a long time here in Manhattan. And I'm not sure if it did in the larger cities like Wichita or not.
I see. Yeah, you know, I didn't grow up with too many neighborhood grocery stores. I can only think of the one in my hometown of Belton, Missouri. But certainly, I remember, you know, a lot of the chains you could do, you know, as I was growing up, it's more one-stop shop. Things you don't see anymore, video rentals. You could go rent a movie on Friday night, and can't do that at a grocery store anymore unless you go to the Red Box or something like that. But
yes, that is a major change, and I have to say I miss video stores.
I miss video stores, too. It's kind of a fun thing. I think there's still some family videos in some small towns out here. I think even Junction City might have one of those.
Junction does, and I know some folks that go over there to use that.
Yeah.
And of course, that was a change that happened pretty quickly because, you know, they came in quickly and then went away pretty quickly with all the streaming.
Yeah.
Which I think with the pandemic and all the streaming, that change is probably locked in.
Probably so, yeah. No, no, no doubt about it.
We'll see how what life shakes out to as we go forward, but I'm sure things will change. They always do and always have, I guess.
Yeah. Well, if people are interested in learning more about history, maybe they have some kids that they want to teach some history about here. What platforms do you have right now that are virtual that people can take advantage of?
Well, we have a number of things on our website. One of the things that we have are some driving tours of local history. We just posted our African American history driving tour on the website, that RileyCountyKS.gov/museum, and it's right on the homepage. Another driving tour we have on there talks about the food explorers and the book by Stone about David Fairchild, of course, who was the president of K-State Fairchild's son, who became a major food discoverer, I guess, worldwide. And then what they were doing is trying to broaden the U.S. agricultural market, so bringing new foods that farmers could raise and sell to the United States. So a lot of foods that we think of as very common today, like avocados and tangerines and things like that, were not common at all when David Fairchild was out doing his exploring. The book by Stone, The Food Explorers, is really interesting for us here in Riley County because it also talks about Charles Marlette. David Fairchild was a food explorer. Charles Marlette was with the United States Agricultural Department, and his job was to try to protect American crops from pests. And of course, David Fairchild advocating bringing all these plants into the U.S., sometimes he was in conflict with his old friend Charles Marlette because Marlette was trying to protect our native or our current agricultural products. So, fascinating book. And the driving tour takes a look at some of the places that three of these food explorers or people who are related to that work, David Fairchild, Charles Marlette, and Walter Swingle, lived with or knew some of the buildings that would have been part of their world when they were here in Riley County in Manhattan. We also have a driving tour about the military trail markers. Don Combs and Doug Tippin have marked the Fort Road, Fort Leavenworth to Fort Riley, from Leavenworth to Manhattan. And so you can go see those markers, and that gives you a way to follow that trail. So you could go all the way to Leavenworth if you wanted to, or you could just do it locally and be in Pottawatomie County and Riley County. So those are a few of our driving tours, and it's kind of a way to get out and about, do things, learn a few things in a distanced way these days.
Cool. I've never taken the drive from Manhattan to Leavenworth on Highway 24, but I've taken all the way to Topeka before. That's pretty fun. I kind of like avoiding the interstate.
Yeah, it is. You get to see things, and you're at a little bit slower speed, so you can notice things. And yeah, there's a lot to explore in Kansas. There's some wonderful things along that route, I think.
Yeah, by all means, get out and do that. That's something that is very easy to do in these times when we can't really go do a whole lot of stuff. Hop in your car. Gas is pretty cheap right now, and take a drive.
Well, recently we went out and saw Monument Rocks and the new Kansas State Park, Little Jerusalem. And that's out by Oakley. It's between, those two things are between Oakley and Scott City. And that was wonderful. And it's a great trip because you're outside, so you're away from other people, and you can really see some really unique and interesting Kansas places.
Awesome. Well, Cheryl, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll talk again next month.
Yeah, thanks very much.
All right, Cheryl Collins again, director of the Riley County Historical Museum. And if you want to hear any more of this interview, it'll be up on our website shortly at newsradiokman.com. Coming up tomorrow, Our guests will be Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy, City Manager Ron Fear, as we get a preview of tomorrow's Manhattan City Commission meeting.
And the GMCF Community Hour returns with Vern, and we'll also be speaking with Lori Bishop with with the Volunteer Center of the Flint Hills, and Kristen Brighton with the Manhattan Arts Center. That's next on K-Man.